Blog Talk Radio.
Been listening to Fox News for the past 4 days ad nauseum on Cavuto, on Hannity, on Greta, on the Five. It's all about Zimmerman and who reached for the gun. And I don't care. And we have Ron. Hello.
Hey, Ron. I just calling in to listen. I didn't mean to step on your intro.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I couldn't believe this. I mean, what a distraction this case trial has been. And it's been, 7:24 until, of course, which we will get to, the Morsi deal. And he's gone. They've got a military coup. It's a mess. I want to spend more time on that. But, I just played that fun one from Chicago. We both reached for the gun. They've been talking about who's seeing the gun in the waistband, who's reaching for what. Did Trayvon do that? Who knows? Trayvon's dead. We don't know. Anyway, what they're doing, I'm not kidding, 7:24 up until Egypt, decided to get rid of Morsi, I guess, by coup, military coup. That's all they had because they want to distract us from what's going on around us. And this is, I'm just like loaded with stuff as what's going on. I will say this much. We've got the Morsi situation. We've got the mandate delayed till 2015, which I have a few comments on that. The other thing that happened in a lot of this stuff, we didn't talk about it on yesterday's show because I did not get anything on this until after our show was over. Of course, it's in the papers today. I believe the talk shows on conservative radio were talking about it. They were talking about Schmuckface and our favorite Kelly Finchie. Delaying this because he knows what kind of backlash he's going to get from every businessman in the country. He knows it's all political to him. And then, not only that, this clown is pushing for amnesty. He's already got his stupid health care bill that nobody ever wanted, and people are pushing back against Kathleen Supervillius. They're pushing against the IRS having anything to do with what's going on with the health care. They're pushing back against the NSA. Not only that, now he's pushing, he wants the amnesty and he wants the climate change stuff just rammed down our throats. And everybody, and I know Bill talked about this yesterday, the reason for that is because he and Valerie Jarrett and every single other schmuck out there that he's connected with is going to get rich off this stuff, including Al Gore and the rest of them. I mean, you know how this works. But I think it's more sinister than that, which brings me to what happened today. There's a lot of celebrations going on in my town because, in fact, I'm going later tonight to see the fireworks. They're doing special fireworks on the 3rd rather than the 4th in this area because Oceanside is celebrating its 125th birthday as being a city. Okay. So it took them about, 120 years, I'm sure, to destroy everything, but they've done it. And they actually decided make a 125-year open someday time capsule. And I was loving the police department and the Marines and the Boy Scouts and the mayor and everybody. And they had some cake and everything. I brought back a cupcake for my mom. But really what blew my mind, a couple things blew my mind. I actually looked over and I asked my girlfriend Dana to go take a picture because I didn't bring my camera of this. Looked like a DHS SWAT tank, you know, like the ones, and it's all black, and it said Oceanside Police Department on it, or just Oceanside Police. And so she went up and got it, and she promised me she would send it to me through email. She has all the capabilities. It's like unbelievable. And I says, they were talking about the items that we're going to put into the to this time capsule, and I thought, you guys need to take a smartphone picture of that tank over there and put that in the time capsule. I was not happy. And then I talked to one of my friends who's kind of on the libtard side, but she's starting to come around because she's seeing what other people are seeing. She goes on Facebook, and she saw the one on the Hawthorne deal. Okay, this was, and I think I sent stuff out, and I actually got the email. Someone sent me the email of this policeman who shot the guy's dog after he handcuffs him, you know, for filming them at this whatever the heck deal going on. And so I sent him an email, and I told him he was a coward. He should be fired, and I told him he should be ashamed of himself and that he was a brown shirt. I was ticked. I'm at that point. I don't care anymore. I'm just letting it fly. So the other thing that was interesting, one of the city council members who a lot of my action friends don't like because he's on the side of, you know, taking away our rent protections. Anyway, but this man, he actually walked up to me in the lion's den because I was surrounded by the kids who don't like him. And he knew it, but I've spoken at enough meetings and he's understood. He knows what apparently my email is, and I've signed my stuff, Linda Sills. When you speak in the rotunda, you tell your full name and your address and everything, and then you address the council members. And so I've done that. So he knew, and he actually, this was kind of shocking to me. I was really happy. He came up to me because a couple of weeks ago, I sent every one of those guys, and he's the only one that talked to me about this, including the mayor. He thanked me for sending the information on Agenda 21 to him, and I was pleasantly surprised and shocked, and he said, he was almost done reading it, and he had heard about Agenda 21 before, and he knows that they want a new world order. So what I'm going to do, because I have done this before, it's very simple here, and you just call their aides, and you ask them, can I have this date, whatever, I need about 20 minutes, I want a private audience with this person, and that's what I need to do, is go ahead and get in his office a private meeting, and spoon feed him what I can on the stuff that we've gathered. And I told him today, I said, yeah, man, I said, I've been protecting this out for 3.5 years, so I'm trying to educate myself and others. And he kind of gets it. There might be some things where he's not connecting dots, but believe me, I will pick up the pace on that. So I think now we need to go to Morsi in Egypt. What do you think is going to happen? Because I don't think this is going to end well.
Well, there's no telling. I feel more inclined to celebrate what's happened in Egypt than I do Independence Day tomorrow. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, right now we're going through the motions because we've talked about this, for the past week or so. People know that this poor republic is all but, it just needs a decent burial. They've shredded this thing, and it's taken them a long time to do it, and they're succeeding. And
well,
I've said this, how many times? Go ahead.
If we take a look at this, seriously, and we look at the Arab Spring, right? And we know that was contrived.
Oh, yeah, just like the Occupy Wall Street.
At least in part. But okay. We also know, or we should know at this point, that the people, the rank and file average guy or gal in Egypt, they're feeling the suffrage of the oppression, whether it was under Mubarak or Morsi. And we should be encouraged that it took only a year for them to grow very weary of the fundamentalist Islamist ideology.
Right.
And tell them, your ass is out of here. We are done with you. And we're not going to exclude anyone.
Right. What about the Islamic extremists, not just the Muslim Brotherhood, but maybe some other faction that might take over? I mean, that's a possibility, is it not?
I think it's a damn slim one.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is the actions of the Egyptian military.
Okay.
And what they did today.
Wow.
They came out. I mean, think about it. In essence, they came out and told the Muslim Brotherhood and the fanatics, stand down, you're done. You're out of here, and we're not going to have
right.
any of it.
Right.
You know, they held a council meeting with the Coptic Christian leader and imam.
Oh, wow.
One of the local, you know, activists, anti-Morsi crowd, and they agreed with the military leaders, we're not excluding anyone, and we will not tolerate a government that
mm-hmm.
excludes anyone and doesn't make the law fair for everyone. We've had enough of your fundamentalism.
Right. Oh, it's wow. I mean, look, I know you probably didn't, you had things going on with your family and stuff, but I did tune into Mikey's show, and he was talking about Independence Day, and he was talking about all this, the fake allegiance to this, and the, you know, the red, white, and blue, and the waving, and the patriotic songs, and he says he's pretty much seeing through a lot of that stuff, and he says I'm not going to, you know, celebrate this, that, and the other thing. He says, my flag's yellow, and it's got a snake on it, and I love that. I was like, all right, Mikey, that was cool.
Well, you know, I heard a term the other day. I'm going to adopt it. That is, I'm a political atheist.
Wow. Well, you know what? Remember, I think it was probably, 4 to 6 months ago, we'd been going through all this stuff, and with the death throes, the actual death throes of this nation, where we could actually see it, feel it, taste it, and smell it, because it's all around us, you know, in your face. I said, hey, and because I woke up, you helped me wake up, everybody I've read, everything I've read, all that stuff, you know, I got the light bulbs went off, and I said, dang, I said, this did not start under Obama, but it will end under him. I said that a long time ago, and I still stand by it. You
it's
know,
sure
this
looking
is,
that way, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to go through this little piece here.
Go right ahead, because it sounds like Mom's coming down to tell me something,
okay.
So I'll mute my
okay.
mic.
Okay, but you got to hear some of this. This is cool. This is what I found, and this is from Mein Kampf, because I have never read it, but I had pulled some stuff off the internet from it. And this is all quotes from Adolf Hitler about lying to the people. And I'm going to start with his first one. By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell or an extremely wretched life as paradise. The next one, make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. The next one, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And the next one is pretty profound. This is the last one. The receptivity of the masses is very limited. Their intelligence is small, but their power of forgetting is enormous. In consequence of these facts, all effective propaganda must be limited to a very few points and must harp on these in slogans until the last member of the public understands what you want him to understand by your slogan. And that's that little quote from him. Now, here is, okay, this was done. I sent this to many people, and I want to read this because I have sent. Hi, Rod. Welcome to the show, and thank you, guys. Patriot Families is here. Thomas Perkins wrote this. I don't know who sent it to me. I just know it came through the grapevine, and it said, "Fare thee well, America." He says, "I love you. It breaks my heart to see you downtrodden as you have been by my side through good times and hard times. Your spirit has followed me to foreign lands and has kept me strong, and I have fought for you for your good name, but as my hair has gone silver and you are fighting perhaps your final battle, I just wanted to let you know that I have loved you and have respected you from the moment that I first opened my eyes and was rewarded by your beauty and your providence given by God." That was the land where the pilgrims came, and that was the idea that was America. Okay. "I have been blessed over the years to have been able to travel and experience many parts of you, from Florida to Texas, and from New England through the heartlands to your west coast and on to Alaska, where your pioneer heart still beats strong. I have to say that in all areas and respects, you are indeed a grand old girl, and I admire and love you dearly. I know that I am getting older and I'm not able to do things as well as I once did in my youth, but know that I have sworn an oath of allegiance and always will always be here for you to defend you to my dying breath. And I know that there are more out there that will stand with me, for you, my beloved, have shown the light of freedom on multitudes and therefore should never have to stand alone. So as your glory waves before me today, I will with straight back stand tall and salute you with honor. Fare thee well, America. Signed, Thomas Perkins. And then I added my own notes because I sent this on, and I thanked the girl that sent it to me, and I said, thank you, I will pass this one on. It pretty much says what a lot of us feel. We are watching the great fall of America. It is sad, disheartening, and rotten all at the same time. I don't know if she can be saved, but when the dust settles after the mini Armageddon, America can be rebuilt. Hopefully by the patriots who truly understand what Thomas, George, and Ben saw, knew, and wanted. I have all the printed material to recreate the Republic. I just need the opportunity to do so. God bless us all. So, Ron says, how sad it is that so few will stand up today for the sacrifice. That's where I'm at. Oh, yeah, I know. The Egyptians got it. Man, they were cool. There was like, what, 33 million of those guys? I think it was 25% of their population. It's amazing. Okay, here is a quote from James Madison. I have been reading this over and over again, all my different stuff. I've been trying to memorize the amendments, the first 10 anyway, in the Constitution for our Bill of Rights. Madison was a pretty smart guy. Love this guy. This is a quote. Do not separate text from historical background. If you do, you will have perverted and subverted the Constitution, which can only end in a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government. Hello? That seems to be where we are. And this is a little ditty, and I'm going to go ahead and do this because and if you guys want to call in, please call in. Anytime you want to jump in, and you can, Ron, do so. He's still on the line. These were the principles of 1798, and this is talking about the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. Have you read those, Ron?
I have. It's been quite a while since I've read them, but fantastic.
They're awesome. They're awesome. And I came across this because I was going through, and this particular, I don't know who sent it to me, and it was amazing that I got it. This copy of the Pocket Constitution has a fabulous remarks on the Constitution by Congressman Ron Paul back in 04. So it's a priceless piece that I hold in my hands. I love this because everybody good and decent is in here, let me tell you. So, and these are things we need to know. Like I said, I have everything I need and you need and we could need to rebuild this and recreate the Republic. We just need the opportunity to do so. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And you know,
I hope, I do. I'm praying that enough of us make it, and we can.
You know, I remember back, I don't remember what year it was. It may have been 05,
okay,
06, somewhere in there, that Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation, they made a new declaration. They actually held elections in all the states, and they had a popular election where they elected a new Continental Congress.
Wow.
And they convened in Chicago for quite some time, and they came up with some new resolutions and a new declaration.
Wow.
And I think it is time that we reiterate
something. Yeah.
That declaration. And it's time for us to reclaim our government.
What's rightfully ours.
Not to abolish the government, but to abolish the bureaucracy that is masquerading as our constitutional government. It is not. It is government run amok.
This is what Madison said. All you have is a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government. That's all you have left.
I heard Edwin Vieira speaking today. And for those of you that are not familiar with him, Dr. Vieira is recognized universally as the foremost expert on money, in the world. But he's very brilliant. He's an absolutely brilliant man. And he asked the question, what is it that is necessary for a free state? He said, you don't need to go online. You don't need to blog or listen to hours of some dipstick pontificating. He said, you need only go read 13 words, and they're found in our Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia
yes.
being necessary to the security of a free state.
Yep.
Stop. You don't need to
yep.
go any further.
Got
now you need
right.
to ask yourself the question, how many of our states currently have a well-regulated militia? The answer to that is none.
Wow.
And we wonder why we're in the situation we're in.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's going on. And this is, yeah, and everybody's scrambling, Ron. You're absolutely correct. Because you've got the Oath Keepers and the sheriffs and the rest of the people fighting Agenda 21 and the Second Amendment people and this tiny little frazzled militias around the, you know, little counties and stuff. Everything's disjointed. Nobody knows what to do. You're absolutely correct. And I can't remember who's... Oh, it was Scott Evans on my Facebook thing. I talked to Bill about this, and if you guys can get on there, and anyone that goes on there, look up Scott Evans. I mean, he's actually in your neck of the woods in Georgia. I don't know which part, but I'll check it out. And he talked about this. He says, this country, without weapons, forget it. We ain't got a revolution of 1776. There ain't nothing. You don't have a country. You don't have a Bill of Rights. You have nothing.
Right.
You damn
but,
right,
you know,
man.
But we can and we should take a lesson from what has unfolded
yes.
historically over the last, well, this week in Egypt. Those
oh
people
God.
Were not toting weapons and threatening
nope.
violence. Granted, there was some of that.
Sure.
Okay.
But not for the most part. Because they have
no,
what they have.
But taken in the totality of the number of people there, the violence was minuscule. And it was not their purpose.
Right.
It wasn't the purpose of that crowd. But look at what they accomplished with no weapons.
I know.
They didn't fire shots at the presidential palace.
Nope.
They didn't storm the gates and drag him out like was done to Gaddafi in Libya. They didn't engage the military in a civil war like is being done in Syria.
Oh my
they
God,
didn't rely on the United States military to roll in and obliterate
yep.
the military like we did in Iraq so that they could hang their leader. That wasn't done. And if you listen to what those people were saying, they said, look, we don't want you, you know, we don't want your prejudice. We don't want you persecuting the Coptic Christians. Leave them alone. We don't
oh my
want
gosh.
You persecuting non-Muslims. We don't want to be persecuting Muslims. Everyone has a place at our table. Let's,
right.
let's you know, stop already. For God's sakes, let's stop.
Yeah, look, I mean, all you need to do is read a little bit of history. And we know that the only reason, I think, one of the main reasons that, when you go back to the Mayflower Compact, the things that happened with the Bibles that came over, what was it, William Bradford, I think that was the name, the Bible that came with the people in the 1600s, and all they wanted to do was raise their families and teach their children godly things. And so, you know, in freedom and without being oppressed and without being ruled. I mean, it's just amazing. Hey, welcome, Barbara 888. Thanks for joining us. You know, it's just amazing.
One of the Bibles that circulated widely during the Quaker era, during our
uh-huh.
initial, you know, settlement was the Wycliffe Bible.
That
and,
one I hadn't heard of, but
yeah, that's the Patriots Bible.
Okay,
and you can find it's actually online. and it's fantastic.
Okay. And that I know that the what's the name of that one? You know which one I'm talking about. The Geneva Bible was that the one that has? I'm sure they many do the reference
yes.
to cities, shining city on the
yes.
hill.
And, Geneva and, Bible, yes.
Right, and these people understood that they before they even I think left the boat, they were talking about the city on the hill and trying
That's
to build that.
That's the one
that.
I meant, and I misspoke, and you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
It is the Geneva Bible, not the
okay.
Wycliffe Bible.
Anyway, yeah, I thought maybe you had, but that's okay. It was something
no,
I
it's
just
okay.
didn't know.
I'm
okay.
horrible with names, so.
That's okay. So anyway, you know, when you're dealing with trying to build a society and have freedom, and thank God we had God on our side in those times, and I do believe that because of everything that those men and even the ones who were considered deists, which I think was a fallacy or a rewriting of history. I think those people, that's when they were 4 and 5 years old, I think that's what their mothers read to them. They read them. That's how they learned how to read, write, and speak and everything else from the Bible. And these people believed in doing things the right way, and they were using everything from the Old Testament and the New to formulate a form of government. You know, those ideas, and therefore that revolution was it, as bad as it was, did not end up with Napoleon like the French one with blood everywhere. I mean,
well,
but you go with ungodly things, it, like Syria, it ain't gonna come out good. I'm telling you.
I know, and you know, just like I was talking about the other night, with taking issue with the idea of God is punishing me because I made poor decisions. I would say that the idea, and just coming to my mind, the idea that God is on our side,
right.
I think should be better spoken. We are on God's side.
Oh yeah. I know. You better figure out where your loyalties are quickly.
Right. Because, you know, just like that, when you have evil intent,
mm-hmm.
okay, then evil begets evil.
Right.
If you have truly benevolent intent with service to your fellow man
sure.
at heart, then that is going to shine through. And as bloody as our first Civil War was, and
right.
by that I mean the Revolutionary War,
mm-hmm.
it was for the claiming the word of God that,
oh, yeah.
you know, I did not give you over to a spirit of bondage, that we are free
sure.
men. And
right.
it's just a shame that we didn't extend that to, you know, Indians and black people.
I know, black people, you know, they had a huge, but they did have a, I know that Jefferson was a pretty cool dude, and I think he hated slavery as much as he hated not understanding the Indians. You know, he was very smart, but wasn't it not in Virginia that they had like 7 books of laws that said if you try to free your slaves that you'll be, you know, extradited from expelled from Virginia for all time, and just, I mean, horrible things would happen to you.
You know, there were a lot of things that were just wrong. And,
sure.
you know, yeah, I know Jefferson owned slaves, Barbara. Is no demonstrable proof that he had children from his slave, and it is speculated that it may have been his brother, but either way, that's an argument that can never be won
who cares?
Because we just don't have any proof, and I don't think it really, you know, rectifies anything. And we've had that conversation before. Imagine,
right.
try to imagine yourself being placed in the position that suddenly you own 300 human beings.
Yeah,
and
oh my
you're
God.
In a country, and you're in a territory where, you know, there is no such thing as a free black person. And imagine now that you're going to free those people. What fate? Of course you would. You would let them go to their death is what you would do.
Yeah, that's why he protected them, I know.
Because those people would be murdered. Where would they go? How would they sustain themselves?
They couldn't even read.
I mean, and again, not trying to make excuses, I cannot imagine ever. They were already working on the farm, and they had a place to stay. They had food and shelter.
Yes.
I think that's kind of the point. Again, not trying to minimize slavery and not trying to make an excuse for it, but my God, in the time, the idea that you would just simply set them free, you know,
that
would be
pretty...
akin, it would not be any different than if today we decided, you know what, we're just going to end Social Security tomorrow, and you guys are free, you're on your own. What would happen to the millions of seniors that depend on it? And are they any less a slave to
Absolutely.
Our government than a slave
right.
were Jefferson and the others in their day? I think
I'll
not.
I'll tell you what would be happening to me. I'd be hanging out with Bill Learn How to Fish real soon.
So, I mean, you know, it's real easy to be an armchair quarterback for something that happened, you know,
well, you know,
200 years ago.
When we're looking, and Barbara, you know, I understand her benevolence because she's a good person, and I get that. But
you
got to think, you got to get beyond some of these things. We're living in a modern day. We have nice things, you know. We have electricity, and we have iPhones and all this craziness where they didn't have it back then. And I'm sure, Barbara, you're well read enough to know, and I think she is, that the there is a penalty of death to even teach a slave how to read or even think about teaching a slave how to read. So these poor people, and that's how you keep them down. That's why our country's in a mess. I mean, nobody knows anything. I think the Egyptians obviously don't think that their books on history are laced with cyanide, that if they open up and read it, they're not going to curl up and die like the idiots in this country. So you have to be very careful when you're worrying about these poor slaves. And like I said, there was like tons of admonitions. They would excommunicate, they would exile these Virginians from their own territory if they were to free their own slaves. And so I understand where Jefferson was coming from, and I think he was pretty darn smart because I think his IQ was dang close to what Einstein's was, if you ask me. But that's just me. And you have to, like I said, it was not a good time, and I know that the founders did not like, and many of them hated the slavery. They just didn't know what to do about it, you know. So I think that's what, you know, they were up against the wall right there. It just the same with the food stamps. You can't, can you imagine what would happen tomorrow if we cut those food stamps off today without any easing off? Oh, my Lord. What do you think, Ron?
Well, you know, look, I understand, and you're exactly right. And my eyes were ready to pop out of my head the other day because they were talking about, you know, illegals. And do you realize, well, I understand, yes, that did happen. There were a lot of Brits that ran it also, you know.
And the Dutch.
And I'm not trying to point a finger of blame. I'm just trying to put out the reality of the situation. And if you look at what...
Bill.
This current amnesty bill, immigration reform, whatever, do you know the driving force? Do you know what the real driving force is behind it?
What are they doing besides destroying the economy
think about it, because we were just talking about Social Security, right?
Oh, my God.
And everyone knows that the Social Security system is upside down and backwards.
Yep.
What would happen if you brought in another 11 million people into the system that are paying in to the system, you see, and not taking out of it?
Oh, my God.
It's a backdoor way of trying to prop up a failed system that never should have existed in the first place. It's unconstitutional.
Exactly. It is.
We've had this conversation before.
I know.
The court has ruled long ago that regardless of the name or the wording in the title, it's not insurance, it's not a retirement program, it's a tax, which is exactly why I said that the court was going to rule that Obamacare is a tax. And lo and behold, they did. Now, after the Supreme Court in Helfrich v. Davis was wrong, and they were wrong again in the Obamacare case, or everybody else is wrong when they claim that, you know, I paid into the system and I'm entitled to it. That's what an entitlement is all about. It sets up the mentality that you're entitled to get that money back. But you're not.
Right.
You're entitled to apply for benefits.
It's
doesn't mean that
it's
you get
insane.
Them.
Right. The whole thing, I mean, let's face it, when was it FDR that did the Social Security nonsense?
Yep, absolutely.
And then it was good old Johnson, that other evil one, that did the Medicare. And I mean, it just keeps marching on because I don't even know if we could even name one person that's been one of those 44 presidents that was, except Jefferson and Adams. I think those, maybe Washington, I don't know. But that's not very many. And I think the rest of them, oh my gosh. Except for the one that rejected the central bank system. Was it Jackson?
Yes.
Excuse me. Too much salt. Okay. You're typing. I'm swallowing water.
I just, I heard that Barbara said I heard that Jefferson read and admired the Quran.
No, he
said,
didn't.
Well, maybe. And said,
he didn't
maybe
admire
so,
it.
But he then sent in the Marines to kill the bastards rather than pay tribute to them.
Right, and let me explain something, Barbara. He was so shocked by what the thing said, he wanted everybody to read it so they realize what was going on, just like many of us should be reading, and I did read Alinsky's stuff, but I did not read Mein Kampf, and I did not read the Communist Manifesto, which may be on my list if I'm still alive to do it. You need to know the other side. The problem with libtards and progressives, they don't listen or read the other side. They are just sucking up Kool-Aid and being indoctrinated, and they're listening to PMS LSD, telling them what to think. And then they regurgitate it when they're in front of you, and they attack you like people like Martin Bashir and the rest of them. I mean, it's nuts. This is what we're up against. We have people who don't even care to see both sides. How can you? Am I wrong? I don't know.
No, well, they formulated an opinion, and that's all they're going to hear. And that's all they're going to see.
And the other thing at that one meeting where I was, like, surrounded by them, I'm being literally attacked by them, they kept saying, well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. And I couldn't even fight back and say, no, that's a fact. It's not an opinion. What you're doing is spouting an opinion. You know, it was like... I was in a den of thieves and wolves. It was horrible. It was like a nightmare. So I've got to figure out what to do. But I was very happy that my council member came up to me out of the blue today. It was amazing. And I said hi. I was very nice. I try to be respectful to these people, and I'm glad I was, because now I have a chance to really make a difference. Oh, I'm so excited. And he understood what I was trying to say about Agenda 21 and everything that's look. All this stuff that we're seeing, I mean, my buddy Tom DeWeese has put it in very succinctly. you list on bullet points the problem we're facing right now, and you can trace it back to this UN New World Order nonsense. This, and of course you and I have traced it to the Rothschilds and the Illuminati, because I do believe that's where it started. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, if you go back, and I mean, we've had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that the United Nations was formed in 1945, right? But we know also
48?
That
yeah,
no, 48 is when the Soviet Union, Russia, and the United States voted to grant statehood to Israel. 45 is when we had the creation of the United Nations. But rewind the clock back further, and you had the failed League of Nations in 1917.
Right,
and,
under Wilson.
You know, they were wanting this League of Nations back in 1913 and even prior to that. But in order to have one, you had to have some catastrophic world war. And let me tell you, I read something yesterday that I won't share with everyone, as far as all the terminology in it, because many people would read it and think, well, this guy is totally anti-Semitic. And it's really not true. No, the guy that wrote it was a pamphlet that was written by a German national in 1879.
Wow.
And at that time, he was bemoaning that Germany had lost herself to Judaism.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow.
So, I mean... And again, knowing what I know, going back and reading Marx and reading about Herzl.
Sure.
The communist rabbi. That's from the 1850s.
Sure.
And he was in Germany.
All this stuff. I'm watching what Barbara's writing, but I think that, you know, when you, the things that you have researched, Ron, are very important because you can see the dots connecting when you start reading what you need to read, especially when you deal with Engels, Herzl, Hess, Marx, all these people. And then when you look at those dates, like the 1850s, when we were not even quite into the Civil War, of course, because that was, 1860-something?
1861.
Okay. So then, but you still had people talking about going back and looking at how the corporate fascism started creeping in, where free market capitalism died back in those times, literally, you know, went away with all this nonsense. And it's just a manifestation, I believe, of not paying attention and not, you know, being vigilant and allowing things to go the way they do and the pendulums to swing. And you see that people disrespect all the laws, and especially of states' rights and people's rights. In other words, we are supposed to be the ones. We are the last bastion, we the people. All of the rights devolve to us. I mean, this is why they wrote it the way they did, and that's what this Kentucky Resolution says. It's just literally 10th Amendment and we the people. It's amazing. It's fabulous. You guys, if you can get a copy of this stuff, do it, because it will open your eyes huge. And these people were serious. They didn't mess around. It said, be resolved, you know, on every point. Resolved. They're not kidding. It was like, okay, this one's written in stone. Don't mess with me, you know. And we have to, you know, kind of agree on that. That was the whole idea of the 10th Amendment and the 9th Amendment. My God. And that's why I've been going through, and because let me tell you something. If there's a chance when this, like I said, when the dust settles, for any of us who are still alive to rebuild it, I'm memorizing this stuff, man. I'm committing it to memory. So, you know, and I think everybody should at least try, because we're going to need our Bibles. We're going to need our history books that were not written by, you know, Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn, you know, that kind of deal. And we're going to need these constitutions and these resolutions. And I believe the Federalist Papers, the Articles of Confederation, etc. I think we should just hang on to every darn piece of it, you know, because we're going to need it. And like I said on Bill's show yesterday, when we were together, and I said, look, because he was talking about, you know, what are we supposed to do with these horrible leaders? And I said, are you kidding me? I said, if we could, you, me, Yo, and Ron, and a couple others, we couldn't do half of that as these times. I mean, my Lord, we couldn't mess it up. Look what they're doing. And I said, we have the Senate, the House of the Senate, and I said, I'm not even going to call them representatives anymore. I call it the House of Ill Repute, because that's exactly what I'm so ticked off. So, I know you're talking to Barbara now. we got to break her into the fold. Barbara, you got to come to the Constitution Hour so we can educate you.
I'm sure Barbara and I would have some very interesting conversations.
Yeah, I'd love to have her call into your show. That would be awesome.
You know, it seems to me there was like a remnant of like, 144,000?
Yeah.
The rest were corrupt. And I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. It's just a statement of fact, and it doesn't come from my brain. It comes from what's written in the Holy Scriptures. And Christ did call them out, called them a den of thieves and a den of vipers.
Right.
And liars,
and
of their father's sake. And in Revelation,
it
talks about those who claim to be Jews but lie. And
I think that's
because they rejected Christ, and so they're rejecting their father.
Look, all this goes, and when you look at the history of the what they call the Zionists, or the, I think it was Ashkenazi Jews, is that what they were called?
Yes.
Yes. Like the Rothschilds. Okay, these are not the 12 tribes. In fact, in the piece that I was reading, there aren't too many of those left, you know. So, and those who claim to be, and that's why that film that you sent me with Ahmadinejad and those Hasidic Jews probably were from the tribes. I don't know. But it was amazing. I mean, I was sitting there in shock and horror and everything else and like going, oh, wow. You know, now I need to do more research. And and to be able to connect the dots like that and look what's going on in the world. Look what's going on right now. And then you've got people like, I mean, I love Glenn Beck, but poor Glenn, he's duped too. He's got, what was that guy's name? You know, that pastor that he likes and he believes in that dual covenant nonsense.
John Hagee.
Oh, yeah. All these clowns. And I'm like, man, Glenn, you got to get away from these people. I don't know. But, hey. The only reason I love Glenn is because he got everybody to read history again. That's it, okay? You know, and to stand and draw your line in the sand. You know who you are. I agree with that. Better know what you believe in, and you better know why. I think that's the big question. You better know why. It better be right in your soul. You know, and I agree. So. I don't know. This is what we're up against, and I just fear for everything. All we can do, she said that those Ashkenaz settled in Europe and Russia. I thought it, what was it, Bavaria? Other places, yeah, I'm sure it was all through that era.
Ashkenazis were a sect. We've had that conversation before, and yes, they did largely settle in Europe. And were instrumental in Bolshevik uprising in Russia, which, by the way, the gentleman that wrote the pamphlet that I was talking about in 1879 predicted the fall of Russia because of that.
Well, okay, so maybe he had an inside knowledge of the Rothschilds, because that was according to the.
You would have to read it and. Obviously the guy was trying to approach it from a very pragmatic sense.
Right.
He wasn't angry. I mean, he was bemoaning the death of his country and you know, the culture in his country.
Okay.
But at the same time, he was giving full due credit and saying, you know, they are the victors and we've been vanquished. And
so now, wasn't the Rothschilds' reason for hating the czars is because they wouldn't succumb to their little central banking deal and give them all the power? Wasn't that part of it, that they wanted to actually use Lenin and Stalin as little puppets to get their way?
Absolutely. And you know, you can't set up a dictatorship. Without some kind of uprising and dethroning the czar. And, of course, Marx was just enthralled with the whole Bolshevik uprising. But then he became, you know, rather disenfranchised because he realized that you can't realize his utopia of, you know, a truly Marxist state.
Right, right. Yeah, I've actually sent different things to different people, I'm sure, in the newspapers, and when they talk about all this greening stuff and all this, you know, sustainability and all that, they're pushing Agenda 21 and not even knowing what the label is, you know, on it. And I have explained to these people, I explained to them, look, when you're dealing with social justice or social equity, I said, this was first kind of picked up on by Karl Marx. He got it from Plato, and then Lenin and Stalin absolutely loved this little idea, and they ran with it. You know, this is where it comes from, this social equity, social justice, all this, what's that stuff? The communism, or the common good, or the globalist. The collective, absolutely collective. I mean, my God, how many times did Stalin use the collective when he was killing the poor kulaks in Ukraine and ousting them out like they're trying to do everywhere with Agenda 21, and I mean everywhere. I don't care if it's Central Valley or if it's Idaho, everywhere. You know that's what's going on. So that's why when I speak to these people, I try to use historical reference and the facts that I've gained. Because they, otherwise, you know, they're going to look at me like I'm Jesse Ventura, and I don't want that. You know, I have to at least go with facts and things and history. Because, look, you cannot dispute these things. You know, when you have fabulous historians writing book after book after book, everything's documented, and the reason that we know so much about Germany in World War II under the Third Reich is because the Germans, God bless them in one sense, they were very, very, you know how they are with their stiff facts and they're just so adamant about keeping copious notes, man. They really
almost to the point of, you know, like Richard Nixon recording everything in the White House. You know, look, every one of these people, and I think it goes to the point that when your heart is set about doing evil things, you know, you're going to be your own undoing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, and that look what's happening. I mean, we've got, in the 33 million people, they had signs, huge signs in English, just denouncing Obama left and right, just excoriating him. Absolutely.
I saw the one that said, Obama, Morrissey is your female dog, and you did this.
Yeah. Oh, he did too. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
So
and you know
those,
what?
Those folks over there—not all of them, but some of them—they're not fooled.
No. Yeah. Some of them are pretty smart. I think they're, like I said, a hell of a lot more better read naturally than the clowns here. And as we keep going with Common Core or Commie Core, I call it, it'll get much worse if that's possible. But I'm sure it is. It'll be Plato's, you know, allegory of the cave very soon. It's so disgusting. Until you know, when it hits the fan, and like I said, I just hope I'm not sitting here in a big city when it hits, because I don't want to be cordoned off in a giant concentration camp. Oh, with foreign troops coming at me. I don't. I really don't. Where I can't escape. But anyway. That's for another day, and I'm really excited. I got, 9 days before I get on a plane, and I want to see you guys. We're going to party. We got to take notes. We have to plan our strategies. We plan for the exits, right? Figure out what we're going to do, man. I don't know, because if I can survive it, I swear, and if there's a wheelbarrow big enough to carry my history book, I'm banking them. I'm going to carry them with me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you're go talk to Barbara, and I'm going to go play this little promo, and we'll get down on this. We'll be right back. We still have
okay.
Time. I'm going to do this real quick.
Sure.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. Thank you guys for that, and thanks for joining. And I know that there's one guest, 2761. I don't know who that is, but welcome everybody. I'm so glad you're all here. And Barbara, we're happy to have you. We got Rod, Bill, and Ron, of course. And in a few days, we are going to gather in Indiana and try to get ourselves happily sauced for me, anyway. I need a break. I need a break from the radio shows, from all this nonsense, the newspapers. We can strategize on what to do, but, you know, we can eat some good food and just fellowship and read the Bible and go play with our squirt guns when that day comes and eat lots more food. And I'm excited. I want to go swimming. I don't care. I've been going to the gym, even though I've got my wine here. I've been trying to cut down on certain things and I've been doing so many crunches. It's like crazy. But it's working. It's just taking a little time. But I want to thank everybody. And I just think, basically, you know, Ron, we've got to not lose sight, like we've talked about, of what's important. Our families, our God, our relationship with Christ. I mean, if we don't get back to that, what are we doing? I mean, why are we even existing? So we've got to go back to the original intent, because John Adams says if you try to distort, if you try to separate and separate that text from historical intent, all you got is a mess. You have an illegitimate government. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that I think that we have to band together. We've got to understand what's going on. And we've got to be the people who make the government fear us, like Jefferson said. Because when the government fears its people, that is liberty. God, he was so... I just love that guy. I mean, if he was back here now and single, that'd be all over. I mean, I just love this guy. And because he was smart. He got it. He absolutely... And many of them did. Benjamin Rush, all of them. Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry. Just so many wonderful people. And we've got to continue to go that way. Bill says, laws of physics, every negative action is positive reaction, karma, yin, yang, call it what you want. Yeah, anyway, so they're talking about Jewish law, Levitical law, and everything in there. So that's wonderful. And I, like I said, I'm really excited, and I've got a couple more things to buy before I get my packing done, which would be on the day that Terry's not doing her show before we go, because she's getting ready to hang out with Yo and Nick. So that's going to be exciting. Again, Barbara, it's great to have you with us. We love people interacting, learning, talking, discussing about our country, what we understand as what true freedom is. And I think that blueprint we have, that Bible, that's it. That's going to tell you what direction to go. That's the direction for your family. It's all there. It tells you how to raise your children. It tells you how to treat your wife or your husband. It tells you all of it, how to treat your neighbor, for heaven's sake. It tells you all the Ten Commandments. And that's why I love the Ten Bill of Rights. To me, those are just as written in stone to me. I mean, man, without those little beauties that are unalienable, by the way, given by whom? By the Lord, not to be taken or tampered with by anyone else or any government or any SOB down the street. No. Hands off. Hands off my guns, my religion, my speech, all of it. All
my
of it.
Freedom.
Every one of them. You betcha. And it's a free will. It's a God-given right to life, liberty, and property. If it was up to me, I'd change that whole deal back. We don't have slaves anymore. Life, liberty, and property. Get your hands off my freedom. Absolutely. We've got 2 minutes left. Thank you so much for calling in. You guys have been great audience, doing the chat room. Let me find myself some really good spiritual stuff. We need some spiritual stuff today. Let's see if I can find that one. Anything to add, sir? What's your last parting shot?
God bless, and hang on, boys and girls.
I think I got, God bless you guys, too, and we're going to hang out together. There's this one. This is You Surround Me. It's a beautiful one. I know you put that up there, so we got it. Hang in there. Thank you, guys. Good night, and I'll see you for Terry's show tomorrow. Happy Independence Day.
You dwell me, totally careful. gently, love eternal, reaching to me, jealous for me. I will stay with you forever.
Thanks, guys. God bless. Good night. See you tomorrow.